Well, good morning.
Good.
Fresh start. Good morning. Good morning. People of God. Praise God. Let's turn our books to... Did you release us in prayer, David? Okay, let's turn our books to page 61. Chapter 4, The Fragrance of the Holy Spirit. I mean, now this is a very good teaching here. And we really want you to take heed to it, because this is giving us the recipe that God gave Moses to do an anointing oil. When God was setting up the tabernacle with Moses, he set up this, gave him the ingredients for this anointed oil, because he was going to use it a lot in the tabernacle that they were setting up, their worship, their... And this oil, this fragrance of the oil, was the fragrance of the Holy Spirit. It represented Holy Spirit. Now, Holy Spirit wasn't with them like he's in each of us individual. When you become a believer, you know, the Holy Spirit is there with you. But in the Old Testament, as you look at it, and God was setting things up, he wanted this fragrance of the Holy Spirit to be there in their presence. And this was the holy anointing oil. Let's read the first. It said, God gave Moses detailed instructions for making a holy anointing oil for the children of Israel. This oil is one of the most beautiful and complete types of the Holy Spirit in the scriptures. In this Old Testament reality, God foreshadowed the divine personality of the Holy Spirit, as well as the redemptive work he came to do. You know, he gave him the exact measurement. He gave him the exact ingredients that he wanted to go in there. And he told Moses, don't alter it, put it in there, just like I'm telling you. Because this was to represent the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So this was very important to Moses. And he had to emphasize it to Moses. Do it like I'm telling you to do it. Each measurement. And it was four ingredients that he had to use in there. And we're going to talk about those four ingredients. And today we're going to talk about how costly it was. And we also going to, you know, in the Old Testament, everybody wasn't anointed like he had special people that he would anoint, maybe like the king, maybe like the priest, but not everybody. But we live in a time when all of us have that anointing abiding in us. And so we should just allow the Holy Spirit to do the work he wants to do in us. Because that is just so amazing that all of us have it abiding in us, that anointing. Now, I told you, when Jesus got anointed, he didn't have to get a bottle and pour oil all over him. You know, when Jesus said, the Holy Spirit's upon me, for he has anointed me. He didn't get out a bottle of oil like Samuel did for David, and just, I mean, when they anointed you in the Old Testament, baby, you knew you were anointed. I mean, the oil would run all the way down. I mean, and the great example of that is Psalms 133, where it said, oh, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the oil that ran down. But one thing we must know And that gave us a beautiful picture of Jesus, a shadow of Jesus, how the oil starts from the head and go down to the body. That's how the body got the oil, because the head got anointed, which was Jesus whom we're talking about. And it came on down and it ran just like Aaron, just like it said it when Aaron was being anointed, that it ran all the way through the beard, all the way down, I mean through the body. And that was the picture of Jesus, that the body of Christ, his body, received the anointing. Now this fragrance that of the Holy Spirit, it's a sweet smelling fragrance. And one thing we should always know, that it's not like maybe a bottle of perfume or something. We've all have smelled things that was very pleasant to our nose, very pleasant. And the fragrance of the Holy Spirit is like that. And I praise God, I got a chance to smell that fragrance. I was in worship and in prayer and reading the Word of God. And I began to smell such a great aroma. And I'm like, so I got up, I said, Brother Charles, did you spray something? He said, no, I ain't sprayed nothing. You know, I didn't spray anything, you know. So I said, okay. I began to say that this, I began to think, this may be the aroma of the Holy Spirit. So I got in my car, I was going somewhere. And I got in the car and that same smell got in there. I said, okay, Holy Spirit, I get it. This is you, you know. This is your aroma. We can get in his presence so until you can actually, with your spiritual senses, smell the aroma of the Holy Spirit. And it's a sweet smelling aroma. Okay, let's get back to, and I also want to go to the New Testament and talk about this fragrance of the Holy Spirit that's on you, and how Paul talked about it. But let's go to the Old Testament. Let's go to Exodus, the 30th chapter. And he told Moses, you can't give this. Nobody else should be making this anointed oil. This is where God is starting to anoint people. He was going to anoint kings, anoint priests, and anoint things. Let's start reading. Let's go to the 22nd verse. The 30th chapter of Exodus in the 22nd verse. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take there unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, okay, 500 shekels. Okay, he's telling them the amount, the measurement of the myrrh. Okay, that's the first one. The second one, and of sweet cinnamon. That's the second one. This is the ingredients. This is the recipe for the anointing oil. Have so much, even 250 shekels of sweet calamus. The 24th verse, and of cassia, 500 shekels. After the shekel of the sanctuary. And then of olive oil, a hint of olive oil. Now that is the recipe or the ingredients that God gave Moses, and he told him, let's continue to read a little bit more. And that shall make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of apothecary. What he's saying, you're going to have to measure it very careful, just like an apothecary does it. I mean, you can't just say, well, I put this in, I put that amount in, you follow the measurements. just that closely. Don't alter from it. And he said, and thou shalt make it a holy ointment, an ointment. The 26th verse, and thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation. Not only was it to anoint people, but it was to anoint things too.
Yeah.
And you know, some people still follow that today. If they move into a new house or a house they hadn't lived in before, they take oil and anoint every room and pray over it.
Yeah.
And release the presence of God. Because you don't know who done lived in there. You don't know what has gone on in there.
Yeah.
So, we still use oil, and that shall anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therein, and the ark of the testimony, and the tables, and all of his vessels, and the candlesticks, and his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all its vessels, and laver, and his feet. You know, what he was telling Moses, let's continue to read, because I want to, and thou shalt anoint the 30th verse. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his son, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. Okay? He was to anoint Aaron. He was to anoint the things in the tabernacle. God was very serious with Moses. And he said, let's keep reading. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall it make any other like it. The warning was, you're not to make any other like it. You're not to just to pour it on somebody's flesh, on the layman's flesh. They could only pour it on who God told them, the priests, the kings, you know, the ones that he chose to anoint this oil on. And upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall it make any, you shouldn't make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy. What is it? It's holy. It's holy, and it shall be holy unto you. So God took this oil and the fragrance of it very, very serious. What I wanted to do is to take each ingredient and talk about it a little bit. But I'm not going to be able to do that if I'm going back to the New Testament. Well, I can talk about how costly it was when I go back to the New Testament. So let's go to John, the 12th chapter. And I want to talk about the cost of it. Now, each of those ingredients that I gave you, they were very costly. They were very rare. But let's go to the 12th chapter of St. John, because we want to get over here talking about what the oil means to us. And like I said, the Holy Spirit didn't have to pour it out, because that, he didn't have to do it like the prophets did it in the Old Testament, because he was oil. He was the oil. You finally get the oil when you get the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. So let's read the 12th chapter of John. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which was had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was on them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment. Now, I'm going to read the third verse out of King James and then the Amplifier. Then Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very what? Costly. I mean, this was very, very costly. And it's important that we put the emphasis on the cost of it, because it was what Jesus was about to do. It was going to cost him everything. His life, everything. It was going, what Jesus was about to enter into, it was going to be very costly. Okay, it said it was costly and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled, and the house was filled with that aroma or that odor of that ointment. It was, the whole house got a chance to experience that fragrance that she poured out on his feet, that she anointed. She washed his feet with it. I mean, she was very liberal with it. She just poured it out on him. And the people really didn't know what was going on. Now, we know one of his disciples wanted to stop it because they said, we can sell this for a lot of money and we can give it to the poor. And Jesus had to correct and tell him, the poor is going to be with you always. You're going to have an opportunity if you want to give to the poor. You'll have that every day. That comes about every day. He said, but what she's done, she's anointing me for my burial. Y'all don't know what she's doing. And it says here in scripture that she saved this up. She put it aside. And I know God was working in her heart for her to put it aside. She saved it. And it was costly. You know, one thing I like about David, he said, I don't want to give the Lord nothing that costs, that don't cost me. I don't want to give him nothing that don't cost me. And sometimes we want to do things in our Christian walk, and we want to do things that don't cost us. We want it as easy as we can get it. We don't want it to, you know, cost us nothing. We don't want to have to get up early. Oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to, you know. But she gave something that she could have sold and got a lot of money for. But she anointed, and it filled, this is what I'm trying to get over to you. It filled the whole house. Yeah. The whole house got that anointing. They smelled it in, they got the anointing. I'm not going to read all of that because of my time. I want to get over in second. But I just want you to know in the ingredients in the thing here, it said, he told Moses it's going to be very costly. But do it.
Can I throw a question out here right now?
Go ahead.
You know, we've seen in the Old Testament, you know, it was poured upon the head. Rick, why she poured it on his feet?
She did his head too. Other Gospels said she put it on his head.
Said what now?
The other Gospels, at least two of them, I'm checking, they said that she poured it on his head. So she did both.
Yeah, they're emphasizing the feet, that the feet was very precious. She always sit at his feet. And the gospel, how beautiful are the feet of those that carry the gospel. And she was anointing him for his burial. So it's other things we could say about the feet there, but I really want to get to second Corinthians, the second chapter and the 14th verse. I want to talk about that anointing or that fragrance for the body of Christ, for the individual. Now, we know this fragrance that we talked about represented the Holy Spirit, and it was tangible substance. It was one that you can, you know, we have such a good teacher, the Holy Spirit. He gives us some things that are tangible that we can see and that we can understand. What a wonderful. Because we all have smelled aromas that we just, oh, that smells so good. We get a whiff of it, and it could be cologne, it could be perfume, and we just love it. Oh, that smells so good. Oh, you smell so good. Oh, you know. And it's just a relaxation in it. Let's start about the 14th verse. Let's go into the 14th verse. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph and maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by use in us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet Savior of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. Okay, let me read it in the Amplified. It said, but thanks be unto God, who in Christ always lead us in triumph, trophies of Christ's victory, and through us spread and make evidence of the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere. 15th verse, for we are the sweet fragrance of Christ. For we are the what? Sweet fragrance of Christ. That's what we should be. But sometimes we can behave in a way that it don't let off the fragrance. Yeah. That sweet fragrance of Christ. But we should live a life so that we let off that sweet fragrance of Christ. Amen. That's who we are. Yeah. We have that sweet fragrance of Christ. Let me finish reading. Unto God, among those who are saved and among those who are unsaved. We should be letting off a sweet fragrance of Christ. And getting back up here in the 14th verse, this is what the Romans would do. It says, God always causes us to triumph in Christ, give us the victory, you know, in Christ. God always does that in Christ, give us the victory. Now, when the Romans would get a victory over any country or anybody, they would burn incense in the street. And them Romans would just go out and then, and you know that, hey, they got the victory. They have won that battle. They would just burn incense everywhere in the streets. The soldiers would. To let the people know, we got that victory. We won. You know. And so that's what we should be to the saved and the unsaved. That sweet fragrance of Jesus Christ. We should be letting that out. That people can just smell the fragrance of Jesus Christ. That aroma of Jesus Christ. That's what we should be releasing. That what they can smell and even the unsaved.
Yeah.
You know. But we want to be mindful of those things. See, if we're not mindful of those things, sometimes we'll behave all kinds of ways. I just got to say what's on my mind. That's just who I am. I saw this two saved people. They really love God. The bigger lady stepped on the shorter lady's toe, and oh my God, I thought we had to take them to the altar. She let out such a defiled odor. She didn't let out that sweet fragrance of Christ. She called the big lady, "You Bigfoot, you need to watch where you're going." I mean, with such an attitude. And that wasn't letting out that sweet fragrance of Christ that we're supposed to be bearing. Right. And even our prayers in Revelation, what do we say about our prayers in Revelation? Huh? Do what?
What do we say about our prayers?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
They come up to God in the sweet smell.
Ha, 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 ha. Yes, they does. Your prayers. Ha. When he receive a, he like, oh boy. But some of our prayers that goes up before him is like, that's not a sweet aroma to him. You're complaining. You're telling God what he hadn't done and what you don't feel. So this fragrance of the Holy Spirit still operates today in our own life. You know? And we must be more aware of that fragrance that we're supposed to carry.
Oh, thank God I didn't do that, Mary. I just had an incident the other day that I needed that. I don't repent of it, so it's okay.
But see, we have to be reminded of these things, Mary.
Yes, mindful of it. I wrote it down, mindful.
Reminded of. And, you know, it's a lot of people don't know that Moses had an ingredient. He had a recipe for the fragrance of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I heard Brother Thurston say, I didn't know that, you know. But this is learning. This is where we learn things at, you know. And that's good to know how the origin of oil, anointing oil, began. And we still use anointed oil. James said, if anybody is sick, call for the elders of the church and anointing them with oil. And so oil is still very important in the Christian life, in our walk of life now. But we want to be that aroma that our sisters and brothers can smell and sense. That's the aroma of Christ. It's very important that we release those aroma. You know, our early morning series, when Ray was talking about that protection, you know, I start laughing, I start thinking about that aroma that we release, that fragrance. You know, Ray was saying, you will always want your protection, you know, because you don't want to, physically, you don't want to send out no bad odor. Well, spiritually, you should want that fragrance of Christ operating in your life. It's costly now. It's costly. Because we can easily just say what we want to say. Like one girl told me, I just tell it like it is. I just speak what I want to speak. You're not no more your own. You've been bought with a price. You just can't say anything you want to say. She said, I said and I repent later. I like, you knowingly that you wanted to. Sometimes all of us run into some incident that we let out a bad odor. You know, it's just, but we don't. We just don't say, hey, this is the way I am. This is who I am. Paul says, no more I, but it's the Christ that lives in me. Let them aromas out, you know. Let them out. You have a choice. And in this world, you're going to have a choice that you're going to have to make. But how many want to make the choice of a sweet-smelling Savior, of Christ? You have it in your home. You have it among your loved ones. You have it, have it in church. You have, co-workers. I mean, you got opportunity to release a sweet fragrance. When our prayers go up, as Mary said, Jesus said, that's a sweet smell. Oh, that's a sweet break. Oh, gosh. But to our enemy, he goes, that's a bad smell, because they know it's working against him. You know, it's not a, but to, when Jesus received, oh, what a fragrance, what a smell. But when he actually allowed me to smell that fragrance, I went, oh God, oh Lord Jesus. You can stay in his presence alone until that fragrance come obvious to your spiritual senses, and you can actually smell it.
Yeah.
I'm over my time. I don't have time to go into. But God bless y'all. I mean, this is enough to whet your appetite and get you hungry.
Can I say something about Brother Thurston comes? You know, I was thinking here, you know, Lord used the vehicle, or Moses as the vehicle. But, and, you know, didn't Scripture say Moses was the most humble man there ever was?
Meekest man.
Yeah, Moses wrote that about himself. He was very humble man. And he was. I mean, if you really deal with very many people, you know, you have to have something. But God was getting ready to set up his tabernacle, the church and things. And he had to put the oil in there for anointing people and anointing things.